Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Iceberg Tennessee Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, we are going to be with Ryan McCumber as he is going to join us to help us break down the NBA draft tonight and more specifically the Spartans who are looking to further their pro careers, much like we did with the NFL draft. Ryan's with us now. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good, Tyler. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, not a problem. All right, so let's start with the two guys who more than likely will not get drafted. And by more than likely, I mean they will not get drafted based upon everything that I have seen, read, heard, whatever else. Matt Costello and Bryn Forbes. Let's get your take on these guys. What do you think that they can bring to an NBA team? Let's start with Costello specifically.
Matt Costello brings a lot of toughness. He vastly improved his senior year. And he's a guy I think will obviously get an invite to rookie league. But I think he brings some toughness. He hits the boards hard. He plays solid defense. He's a great shot blocker. I think that he has an outside shot of making a roster if he does well in a rookie camp, but he's a guy who's, like you said, he's not going to get picked. He just brings a lot of toughness to the roster, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He gives you some of the things that you want from a post player. Obviously, the post moves first and foremost. He would be an undersized five, which I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing anymore in the NBA. Could kind of, I'm not going to call him a stretch four, but he has the ability to hit 15 to 18 foot jump shots. He
yeah.
does open the floor up a little bit while at the same time giving you the protection that you need in the paint. He is Michigan State's all-time block shot leader. I think the biggest issue for him is since he's too undersized to be a five, unless let's say team like Cleveland is looking for a five to match up against a team like, I don't know, let's say Golden State. Even then, in that type of situation, he'd obviously be out physical by Draymond Green. But, beggars can't be choosers if you're looking for that type of a player. He's got a nice array of post moves. Like I said, he can he has a pretty solid mid-range shot, but he's too slow to be a stretch four, and I think that's his biggest issue, because he is undersized for what you want out of a center piece.
Yeah, I agree with you on Costello. And usually if you're a four in the NBA today, you've got to be able to shoot, 18 to three-point line. I don't think that he could fit that mold, but he's somebody you might be able to bring off the bench if you want some energy minutes. He's probably not going to be a starter or anything, but he could be a contributor on a team.
Yeah, and let's not forget, you said it, and this is one of the things that people tend to forget now. There is a developmental league. It, according to Derek Nix, doesn't pay very well, but there is a developmental league. There is the summer league to try to get things going. If not, he can go overseas. He can come back for the summer league tryouts next year. Charlie Bell, he didn't make it right away. He ended up having to go overseas, and then he turned into a pretty solid role player for Milwaukee as he was actually beyond his prime already. So there's plenty of opportunities out there for these guys to go pro. Frankly, I don't know if Costello can make it right away. I feel, like I said, his skill set would be, if he was faster, I think that it would really help him out. Obviously it would help out anybody, but if he was faster, I think you could almost assure a spot maybe very, very late in the draft sure undrafted free agent who you are going to sign to your squad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, I think he's a guy who's going to wind up overseas to start, but like you said, he could wind up like Charlie Bell and come back and, you know, maybe contribute to a team at some point. But, yeah, I think Castillo, I don't think he's going to make a roster. I'm not sure if he'd want to go to the D League, but I think he's a guy that's going to wind up overseas to start.
Yeah, and you have seen stories. These guys from Michigan State, I mean, Drew Neutel, he's had a pretty solid career overseas, and I think that that's more than likely what you could see out of a guy like Matt Costello, because I think he can mold for a big perfectly. Maybe doesn't bring the finesse, but he does bring some of that Michigan State toughness that European leagues seem to like from the Spartans. So, I mean, that's personally what I think about him. Let's move on to Bryn Forbes, another guy not looking like he's going to get drafted, but I mean, he's like Liam Neeson and Taken. He's got a very particular set of skills that a lot of NBA teams would love right now.
Yeah, he can shoot the three, lights out. When he's on, man, he's on. I think that he's a player who's going to wind up. I think he's, like you say, he's not going to get drafted. But he's somebody who, if he can find his niche as a three-point specialist, I think he's somebody who can make it in the NBA. I don't think he's going to be a star or anything. I don't think he'll be a starter. But he could be a three-point specialist you bring off the bench if you need somebody like that. But I think he's listed as 6'3". So, I mean, if for shooting guards, a lot of them nowadays are 6'4", 6'5", so size might be an issue for him.
Right. And, I mean, I would compare him kind of to, like, a Klay Thompson. I'm not saying he's going to be that good, especially considering the fact Thompson's 6'7". He can't create his own shot, but Klay Thompson couldn't really create his own shot when he came into the league either. He ran off the screens. He pulled up for three. He does such a good job reading the defender and reading how they're going to come off the screen that he can get open on it no matter how poorly it's set. And I think that that's his greatest asset, obviously, besides, you know, the three-point shot that follows after he gets open. In regards to, he's not that great of a defender. I think he brings a little more strength to the table than Rip. But if he can just wear down a defender for the other team, because you can't leave Bryn Forbes open. You know, you have to chase him off of all these screens. If he can wear him down, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to reach Hamilton's ceiling, but I could see him kind of playing that Thompson-Hamilton type role.
Right. I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far. Like you said, you don't know if he's going to reach their ceiling or not. I don't think he will.
I don't think he'll reach the ceiling, but I think he can be that type of a player.
Okay, yeah, I think Steve Novak is a pretty good. I think Steve Novak is a pretty good comparison for him. A guy who's a 3-point specialist, played for the Knicks. And I think Forbes could wind up like him. He's obviously not a plus defender by any means. In fact, I'd say that he might be below average as a defender. But if you need instant offense, he can give it to you. Obviously, like you said, he can't create a shot. But that's somebody you need to put a body on. And if you need instant offense, he can give it to you in a hurry.
Yeah, he's one of these guys. If you see the way the game is going, which it's a lot like, it's kind of like football. It's starting to spread out. It's all about spacing. It's all about, in football, well, passing is the equivalent of a three-pointer, I would say. I feel like he's going to be one of those guys who he can help you space the floor, fever of the NBA or whatever you want to call it. I think it's going to take him a little bit of time because he does need to work on his ball handling, creating his own shot. He does have a nice pump fake one dribble pull-up, but he's got to work on actually creating his own shot when there already is a defender on him. You said he's got to work on his defense, and you're absolutely right there. I feel like, unlike Costello, I mean, we said Costello could probably go overseas as his best bet. I think Forbes gets a shot at the D-League.
Yeah, I think he does too. Who knows? But like Nick said, the pay isn't that great, so who knows? Maybe he wants to go overseas. I know Forbes has a kid, so that might play a factor in his decision. Yeah, I think that's
one way or the other. Because you know, if you have a kid, you don't want to pull him out of the States. You want to keep him close to family. But at the same time, overseas, you can definitely provide for him a little bit better.
Exactly. I mean, it's. We'll see. I think he's definitely somebody who will get a D-League invitation. I don't think he's going to make a roster right away, but he's somebody who I think down the line could be like I said, a Steve Novak type of player, and you can make pretty good money if you're a three-point specialist in the NBA. So, I mean, it's not like he's living bad if he winds up as good as Steve Novak was.
Yeah, and the D-League's not the worst option. You go back, you look at Travis Trice, he's having 27 and 29-point games for the Knicks. And so, I mean, you feel in the situation where, I don't know, the Knicks don't trade for Derrick Rose, maybe there's an opportunity for a guy like that to break through. You will have those opportunities, especially when what teams look for is they look for guys who can do specific things when you go deeper into the bench. You look for a three-point shooter, or you look for a rebounder, or you look for a defender, a lockdown perimeter defender, shot blocker, energy guy. And so Forbes could fit the mold for that three-point, as far as a three-point shooter goes. Let's probably get to the one person a lot of Michigan State fans have mixed feelings on, so to speak. He's projected to be the first Spartan taken. I mean, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, Deontay Davis, I felt he could have used another year, but at the same time, this year's incoming freshman class is just absolutely insane. So I don't know if his stock would have gotten any higher if he would have stayed. But at the same time, he obviously definitely could have used another year of school. He's someone whose ceiling is really high, in my opinion. I think somebody mentioned, or was an NBA scout, mentioned he could be like a Rasheed Wallace-type player. That could be a ceiling. But at the same time, I don't think he's going to contribute to an NBA team right away. He's more of a project. If he can play defense consistently, he is a lockdown defender, because we saw what he did against Nigel Hayes and East Lansing when Wisconsin came to town. He could develop a shot that would help him a ton. He's a great shot blocker, pretty good rebounder. His offense needs to improve overall, his post game. But I think he's going to go in the lottery tonight. That would be Izzo's second freshman who got picked in the lottery, I believe.
Well, you said he can be a lockdown defender, and that's the thing, he can be. But at the same time, for every Nigel Hayes, there's a game like, Middle Tennessee State. It's the first one that comes to mind. He was awful. Yeah, I mean, you get the tip slams or whatever, had your stats, you know, 2 points, one rebound or whatever on that. He's a good shot blocker, but the rest of his defensive game, it's just not there. He doesn't have the full understanding. Another year, I think, would have helped secure him of a lottery spot. Next year is going to be better. It is going to be. But at the same time, you have a chance to hone your offense. You would have been the primary option under Tom Izzo. You would have gotten all of those post-ups that Matt Costello got this year. Davis shown that he does have a little bit of a range on him. He can kind of hit from the same range Costello did. I'd probably say Costello's probably got another 2 or 3 feet on Davis. But he's raw. He's super physical. he's a post version of Pendulum College. Probably going to be drafted too high. Has a lot of work to do, and I don't know if he can put that work ethic in. Like I said, like you said, I mean, high ceiling, but does he have the work ethic to do it? Because he didn't learn a thing playing all season deep, playing defense all season long, where he ended up getting benched. He only played 3 minutes in a game that ultimately saw Michigan State championships hopes go out the window. And he only played 3 minutes in the second half. So I don't know if he has that work ethic to put in to reach that Rasheed Wallace ceiling. I totally see where, you know, you got a lengthy guy, a guy who can stretch the floor a little bit for being a four. He's a lot more athletic than Rasheed. And he's a great shot blocker. He can be a good defender. But also, like Rasheed, will he put it in? Because if Rasheed put that work ethic in, we're looking at a top 50 player all time with his skill set. And so can Davis put the work ethic in? I'm not saying he's going to be a top 50 player all time, but does he have a work ethic to reach that ceiling?
Yeah, you brought up some good points. He's not a consistent defender, which, like I said, you know, he needed. You need more of him against Nigel Hayes than you do him playing against Middle Tennessee State. But, yeah, I think that he's going to go lottery tonight. I personally, what you said with some fans having a mixed feeling, I don't blame him for leaving at all. I mean, if the money's sitting there, I think you got to go. I do think he could use another year of school, but at the same time, like I said, this year's draft, the next year's draft is just loaded. I don't blame him. I mean, you've got to do what you got to do. Maybe his family needed some more money. You know, good for him. I hope he does well. He's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I'm not rooting for the kid's success. I obviously am. But he does have a lot of that work to do, and I don't know if he'll put it in. If he does, more power to him. He'll make me eat crow. I'm fine with that. But I don't think that I feel like that one more year, no matter what would have happened or whatever, like, we would have seen a lot more of him. He would have been the focal point a little bit more on offense. And some guys get fueled based upon how much they touch the ball. It affects how they play on the other end. We would have seen more of him on offense. He might have played better on defense. Maybe he's one of those types of guys. Maybe he goes into the summer league and he does what Brandon Dawson did. Brandon Dawson tore it up in the summer league last year. Eventually, he did end up earning a spot. I think Davis obviously has a much higher ceiling than Brandon Dawson did. But it's the same problem of he can be a great defender if he puts in the effort.
Yep, you're 100% correct. I mean, there's a reason Izzo didn't play him sometimes in key moments because he wasn't willing to defend at times. I know fans complained about that, but do you want him on the floor if he's not going to defend? In key moments, you need him to defend in key moments if he's going to be on the floor. I know his offense was really good at times, especially in the post, but if he wants to be on the floor, you got to defend. It's the same way in the NBA, especially with big men, and you got these stretch guys. You have to be able to defend the perimeter well.
Yeah. All right, so you think he's going to be a lottery pick. A lot of the things I saw, 10 to 15, seems to be the range for Davis. I think 10 is a good spot for him. He would be in Milwaukee with the 10th spot, barring any trades. But Milwaukee, they love the length. They're not that great of a team, but they were able to beat Golden State because of the length. And so I feel like they want to add to that a little bit. I think Davis gives them that. I mean, you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know what? I've said it right all day practicing because I knew I was going to bring up his name. And I screwed it up there. Giannis Antetokounmpo. There we go. Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, you look at him, he's a... It seems like every time you hear how tall he is, he grows another inch. And he's a shooting guard, a power forward. So, I think that he would be a great fit for Milwaukee. They like guys like that. They like guys like Henson. And so, I feel like it would be a great situation for him. Now we're going to go to the Big Ten, Jesse Owens, Male Athlete of the Year. Not projected to go as high as Davis, but honest, what do you think, Ryan? Like, does he have more to offer than Davis does? Because, I think despite the ceiling, I think Valentine brings a lot more to the table than Davis. And frankly, I'm surprised that Valentine's not going to be a top 10 pick.
Like I said earlier, a lot of this is based on their ceiling and potential, and a lot of people don't think Denzel has a really high ceiling. People said the same thing about Draymond Green, and we know how that ended. I understand the point.
What? An Olympian?
You know, what?
Yeah, Draymond Green ended up being an Olympian.
Right, exactly. We'll see. I think that Denzel, even his defense is something. He obviously needs to work on his defense a little bit. But he had vastly improved over 4 years. He turned himself into arguably the best player in the college game last year. He's an elite passer. He can shoot the jump shot pretty well. Great leader. I think right away he brings a lot more to the table than Davis. But what's his ceiling? Do we really know what his ceiling is? I honestly don't know. I mean, I can't think of a player to compare his ceiling to.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who he brings so much to the table. You have to find a way to that's what everyone likes to do is they like to compare. Oh, I see him being like this guy, like we said with Dave. He could be like a Rasheed Wallace. But I've seen Valentine, like, the one comparison I saw is Tyreke Evans. And that's because you got a guy who can play the point and he can play the two. Well, guess what? Valentine can shoot a little bit better. But the one word that you kept saying, ceiling, I find it's related to athleticism. Valentine doesn't necessarily have the athleticism of these NBA guys, but at the same time, neither did Draymond Green. Neither did Draymond Green, but he has the smarts to make up for it. And I think Valentine's that type of guy. He's a 6'5", 2" who can also play point. He gives you a little bit more. He can rebound well. You will be able to get a lot of rebounds, at least for that position. And so I think that he brings a lot more to the table. I think he's more ready than Davis. And frankly, I don't understand why scouts are so concerned about it. There's an article in The Undefeated the other day. Oh, he has degenerative knee issues. He's missed 4 games over 4 years.
Yeah, I don't get the durability thing because he's been really durable over 4 years at MSU. He's a great passer, like I said. He's actually an elite passer.
He's also an elite three-point shooter. He shot 44% from the three-point line this year.
I don't know if you can find a play. Like, you said Tyreke Evans. I don't know if that's – I mean, I get the one and I get that he can play the one and the two, but I think they're pretty different players. But Draymond Green, who can you compare Draymond Green to? You can't really compare anybody to him. I mean, he's a tweener. He's figured out his role. Denzel is not really a tweener. I mean, you play him at the one or the two. He's not going to be stuck in the post all the time like Draymond was. But
at the same time, at that height, you can go and you can post up smaller guards.
Right.
Obviously, a guy like Steph Curry, Valentine could take him in the paint. I don't know if he could defend him well on the other end because his
defense. I feel it's underrated, but at the same time, it's still probably the biggest question mark. The reason why he wasn't guarding the best defender last year is because the entire offense went through him. Whether it be passing, setting screens, shooting, driving, posting up, whatever, the entire offense went through him. So Michigan State lightened the load, and now people have questions about his defense because of a strategy thing where Izzo goes, our whole offense going to run through you. We're not going to wear you out because you're already playing 38 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, I get some of the criticisms of him. Fair or not, a lot of these scouts look at four-year guys and they're like, oh, why were you in school for 4 years? I don't think that's fair, but that's the way scouts look at things nowadays.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is we brought up, Davis has the ceiling, but maybe it's questionable regarding the work ethic. Valentine has gotten better each year for 4 years. Like you said, kind of like Draymond Green. You think that work ethic's not going to be there to keep getting better? You know he's got it already. So you know you're going to get a guy who's going to work at it, who already brings probably a bigger skill set to the table than anybody else coming out in this year's draft. I'm not saying he's the best prospect. I'm not saying he's going to be the best. But if you can find me a guy who can rebound, shoot, post up, pass, see the floor, has the brains, the basketball IQ for it all, like Valentine in this year's draft, I would love to see who you come up with.
Maybe Ben Simmons, but you've got a lot of questions about his maturity.
And the basketball
IQ. That's the only one I can think of.
And he doesn't have that work ethic.
All right.
Chris Dunn might be an option, but I don't see too many people beyond those two guys who can do all of it the way that Valentine can.
I mean, I think that going on to where I think he gets picked, I think he's going to go, I'd love to see Detroit pick him. They need another point guard. But I think it'll go.
Well, they need another two guard as well, and I think Valentine can do both of those things.
Right. I mean, I think he'll go like 17 to 20. I don't think he's going to be a lottery pick, but I'd love to see the Pistons pick him up. I love it.
Yeah, a lot of the mock drafts that I was reading is we got ready for this just to see what people had him going. And don't worry, I looked at established people, not, I don't know, Port or whatever. You look at guys who spend their time around GMs and stuff and actually talk to them on a day-to-day basis. I've seen I've seen 18 more than anywhere else. But I've also seen he can jump into the top 12. The odds of that happening kind of slim, but like I said, it depends on what people need. People need a point guard, but they also need a shooting guard, like the Pistons. Valentine's your guy.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen
them
all over.
But that does
it for
us today. I'll let you get this one thought in.
All right, I've seen them all over. I mean, he's all over the board. Like you said, 12 to 20 maybe. But I love to see Detroit pick them, but I don't think they will.
Well, like I said, most of the things that I've seen, I've read like 6-7 mock drafts. All but one had them going to Detroit. So we'll see what happens tonight. ESPN, 7 o'clock, the NBA draft. That does it for us today here on the Red Tudor Report. For Ryan McCumber, I am
Tyler Hayward.